Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34. It is a new covenant. It says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity and remember their sin no more." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our great and mighty God, we do thank you for your word this day, and we just ask, Lord, your blessings upon it in this time that is at hand, that you just allow our hearts and our minds to be in tune to you. For it is in your Son's great and holy name we pray. Amen. A covenant that was written on the heart as opposed to those that were written upon the stone tablets. Jeremiah's relationship with his fellow Israelites was a volatile one. From Jeremiah's very lips come some of the most severe language that ever directed at the Israelite people. He holds nothing back. Israel has broken faith with the covenant that was given to them on Mount Sinai, and he's not happy with them. Such actions, he says, have consequences, and God's response would be severe. Exile would be Israel's price for its sinfulness. So there are consequences for our actions. Imagine that. Some people think that they can live life however they wish and then go tell somebody about it and then it's all over. But God says there are consequences for the way we live our life. But you see, Jeremiah also loved Israel as a parent loves a rebellious child. Yes, he spoke words of anger, hard words that made the people drive him away. But these were words that Jeremiah spoke, words that must have made Israel's heart sing and its hope soar. The prophet spoke words about restoration and renewal. He said, "There is hope. There are good things to come." Nowhere among his words do we find any more beautiful and hopeful than the teaching about a new covenant. The old covenant that was made at Sinai has been broken. Now there would be a new covenant. Written not on stone, but on the living tablets of the human heart. Your heart and my heart has the new covenant of Jesus' blood written on them. Only in this way could God establish a new order on His earth. And see, in the Old Testament times, here is Jeremiah being the prophet that God has called him to be. He's prophesying of something that is yet to come. The life of Jeremiah has an amazing resemblance to that of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Their lives parallel each other in some interesting ways. Both spent long periods of time in solitude, and both drew strength from the well of the prayer life that they had. Each of them struggled with the hostility of their contemporaries in their very own hometowns. Jeremiah at Anathoth and Jesus at Nazareth. Both spoke against the religious representatives of the day. Jeremiah denounced the priests and the prophets, while Jesus contended with the Pharisees and the scribes. Both of them wept over what they saw coming to Israel as the result of apostasy, and each counseled against the inordinate confidence in the temple. So both Jeremiah and Jesus had a lot in common. They both loved their people. They both wept for their people. They both prayed for their people. They cried out for them. Most beautifully, Jeremiah anticipated the gospel that was yet to come, the good news. And in his teaching about that new covenant, and on the night of his betrayal, Jesus also was clearly referring to Jeremiah's prophecy when he inaugurated the New Testament, that new covenant at his own blood that we find in Luke's Gospel, the 22nd chapter, the 20th verse. All of Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 is quoted by the author of the letter to the Hebrews that we find in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 through 12. It's the central element in the argument that is Christ is all things to become new. To Jeremiah was granted a vision that was unparalleled outside the New Testament, of all the inwardness, the universality, and the perfect freedom which exists within the relationship between God and you and I, between God and all humankind. In the teaching about the new covenant, we see the pattern of the new life that is in Christ. Here already we see the foreshadowing of the glorious liberty of the children of God that we find in Romans 8:21. You see, Jeremiah teaches Israel that their faith, it is their faith that will carry them, as contrasted to a religion that they have to carry. His words about the new covenant are a wonderful illustration of the difference between law and grace, between work and faith. More important, Jeremiah is pointing to a faith that is very, very personal. It's got to be one that is with each person. You know, I can have all the faith in the world, and my brother down the road that I pray for and love and care for, if he doesn't have that same love for the Lord, that faith in Him, does it make any difference how, if I say, okay, God, you know, let me take His place? It doesn't work, God says. Each and every one of us has to have that personal faith. We can pray for our brothers and sisters and we can ask God's blessings to be upon them, but until they make that decision for themselves, we can't do anything about it. No longer shall they teach one another, He says, or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. From the least to the greatest, they shall all know Me. For years, the Pharisees have been teaching in Jeremiah's day that if you were wealthy or if you were of the right family, if you lived in the right place, you could make it to the kingdom of God a whole lot quicker than someone who was down here. But Jesus comes telling us that that's not true. That's not the way it is. That everybody, from the least to the greatest, says the Lord. And Jeremiah tells us that. The day is coming when the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be the God of every person, personally known and experienced. And what a joy it is to experience such a relationship. Personal faith is the secret to religious vitality. Personal faith is the secret to religious vitality. It is our own experience that we have. It is our own experience, not anyone else's. It's our personal faith. And God said that is what it's going to take, is your decision and my decision. There is an old story in our time. It talks about romantic love, and here are the people that are in this scenario. There's a bachelor professor, a young boy, and a teenager who has just kissed his girlfriend goodnight, and they are all asked a simple question, if they believe in romantic love. Well, now the professor says, yes, oh, I believe in romantic love. It is a phenomenon between two persons that leads to the propagation of the species. His is the evidence of scientific observation, what he has observed. Now, the young boy says, oh, yeah, I believe in romantic love because my sister is in love. And she acts very strange and very weird, and she's kind of icky. His is the evidence of relational observance. He's seen his sister because she's in love. Now, the young teenage boy who has just kissed his girlfriend goodnight is asked, do you believe in love? And the boy says, oh, you better believe I do. His is the evidence of what? Experience. You see, Jeremiah is foretelling a relationship with God that is experiential. He is pointing to a time when hearts will burn, says Luke 24:32. Like the disciples' experience on the Emmaus Road after the risen Christ, after seeing Him and meeting Him. You see, such is the power and joy of living faith. So our faith is personal. It is alive and it lives within each and every one of us. It is a covenant that is not written on stone, but it is a covenant that is written within our hearts. So it is up to us to know Jesus for ourselves and get to know Him better and better each and every day. Such is the power and such is the joy of living by faith. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You for this day, and we thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your gift. We do thank You, Lord, for Your word that we find in Your word each and every time. In the Old Testament, as those prophets foreshadowed and foretold of the things yet to come, and in the New Testament, when those disciples said, this is what happened. This is what He said, and this is what He did, and this is how He behaved. And this is what we experienced. And part of it we don't understand, but we believe. We can't figure it out, but it's true. Because it's something that happens to each and every one. It's something that we have to experience for ourselves. And it's something that will transform our heart and our soul. So, Lord, we thank You this day for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your life. And we thank You, Lord, for those who continue to tell. Be with us now, for it's in Your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 593, Here I Am, Lord. Would you stand as we sing and know that the altar is always open? Hymn number 593.